This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Boulanger. As part of its activities surrounding International Women's Day, March 8th, the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC, released a major study on pay equity in the world. The news is not good. I talked to Marike Koning, an equality officer with the ITUC. I asked her how the global gender pay gap has changed in the last decade.
In the past decades, and that's the conclusion of the report we're about to publish, Frozen in Time, Gender Pay Gap Unchanged, is that the gender pay gap has been frozen since the last decade. And that's a very, very disappointing conclusion. And that is what the report shows. It shows, again, a pay gap of 18%. And this figure is based on a research among 43 countries, which is quite a high number of countries this time. And what we actually see is that the highest pay gap is shown in Asia from 30 to 40%. And on average, we can say that the pay gap is between 10 to 30% for the countries in general. It is also the report shows for the first time a kind of analysis of the gender pay gap by sector. We included figures on 15 sectors, from the construction to domestic workers. And the main conclusion, the most disappointing conclusion, is actually that it's frozen, the gender pay gap. And that is quite a shocking conclusion. We can see that the gender pay gap cannot be explained by objective factors such as the level of qualification, responsibilities at the workplace, the size of the company, years of service. All those indicators don't give us any clue about the gender pay gap. So what we actually have to conclude that what is happening is that discriminatory practices remain, are persistent still at the work floor. We also have shown with this report that the child penalty is also a main factor for the gender pay gap. When the child rearing of affects women wages much more than that of men, and that is actually also a reason that we say we should call for more adequate implementation of policies on caring tasks for women and men. On the positive note, and that is, I think, important news for unions, is that women who are unionized are actually better protected against the gender pay gap.
That was a question I was going to ask you. Tell us a bit about what the study found in terms of unionization's effects on the gender pay gap.
Yes, absolutely. That, as well, this report, as previous reports we've done on the gender pay gap, show that when you are a member of a union, as a woman, you are better off in terms of the gender pay gap. And but as well, there we see a better compliance with minimum wage regulation as well. So, for example, we see lower gender pay gap in sectors which are traditionally unionized, such as the public sector. We see higher gender pay gap and less compliance with minimum wage regulation, where we do see low unionization rates and low wages, like retail, hotels, restaurants, and agriculture. We do see a low gender pay gap in male-dominated sectors such as construction, but that is mainly because we see a low number of women workers in these sectors. And usually when the women are working in this sector, they are higher educated. So that explains a lower gender pay gap.
What are some of the other major issues affecting women workers around the world?
I think one other major issue, that's, we do mention it in the report as well, because actually where we see the highest gender pay gap and the lowest earnings are among domestic workers. And as we all know, there are a majority of the domestic workers are women. And figures say that in the world we have between 50 to 100 million domestic workers around the world. And the key problem this group of workers is facing is that their excluded of national legislation, and that includes also the right to organize and form trade unions and the right to collective bargaining. Now, last year, at the ILO conference in June, a convention was adopted, a convention 189, on domestic workers, also a recommendation 201. But what is so important of the adoption of this convention is that it finally, means a historical breakthrough, for these 50 to 100 million domestic workers, because when ratified and implemented, they will have access to so many rights, from social protection to a minimum wage, to proper payments, and so on. And this is a very underestimated group. And that's why IGC considers this as a very important group to focus on, and is also the main reason why we launched the so-called 12 by 12 campaign in December last year. And aiming at 12 ratifications of this convention in 2012.